Good evening, my dear brothers and sisters. Today is Friday, September the 5th, 2008. We are having our regular meditation session. How are you today? Did you enjoy your week so far? Today is my ordination ceremony anniversary. 18 years ago, when I just finished grade 9, and I remember at that time I request the permission from my parents to ordain as a novice, and they are not allowed. They say that you should finish your high school. And they told me that, do you know that when you ordain as a novice, that means you have to shave your head. And you have to wear your monk's robe. And then if you go to school, your friends will make fun at you. They will laugh at you. They will teasing you. And if you withdraw, that is an embarrassment. You know, in Asian thinking, to become a monk, to leave home and become a monastic, is something very miracle and something very spiritual for the whole family, relatives, friends. To become a monastic is not just a job. This is something unable to describe. So that's why they know that to become a monastic is something beautiful. But they also are afraid if their son or their daughter withdraw, and that is something, you know, hurt them a lot. So when I promised with my parents that I honestly to become a novice, they also not agree with what I said. So I agree with them. I said, okay, I will wait until I finish high school. So one day my hair get long and I want to go to the haircut, go for the haircut. And the master say, you don't have to, because you are a boy, you know, it's easy to cut. So if you don't mind, you can stay in the temple and I do it for you. So the master, honestly, he took out his razor and he started to cut my hair. And what I need is just short it. I don't need any fancy style or anything. So he tried to cut my hair, and then suddenly he moved his hand over my head, and he cut a large bunch of my hair, and lot of the hairs cut off from my head, and he tried to fix it. He fixed over the right a little bit, on the left a little bit, front a little bit, at the back a little bit. After that, he shaved around at my under my head, and then he just saved a bunch of hair like a coconut shell. If you take a bowl and you put on my head, it's exactly the same. So when I back home, and my dad asked, who cut your hair? It looks so weird. And then I said, oh, the master in the temple. He said, it doesn't look like anything. So I asked my dad, so can I shave? He said, why not? So when he said, why not, I'm so happy. And I run to the temple and I asked the master to shave me first. But at that time, I don't have the permission yet. So I really afraid that they asked me to make my hair grow again. So every day I hide in the washroom, I lock the washroom, and I use the razor and just shave it every day, make sure don't grow up again. My hair won't grow again. So but because they misunderstand, they thought since you shave your head, that means you become a monk. So I used that advantage. And I make the request with the master to do the precept transmission for me. And I remember that is the full moon of 7th month lunar calendar, 1990, years of the horse. And today when we meditate and I thinking about the day, so I thought, wow, it's 18 years. So it clicked on my head that I share this day with you. This is my anniversary that I shave my head. We call it a leaving home ceremony. Leaving home doesn't mean you do something, but this is the ceremony that you make the commitment from now on you will live in the temple. In the Buddhist tradition, the word ordained as a monk, shaving your head, they have three meanings. First, it means you leave your entire home. That means from that time, you officially leave your home. You don't leave your lifestyle as a regular lifestyle. Like you won't wear any other regular clothes. You will wear the monk's outfit, the monk's robe. You also mean since that moment you shave your hair, it also means you shave your afflictions within you. Why we shave our head? It stands for afflictions. Hair stands for afflictions. Hair stands for your suffering. And also, as a monk, you try to live your life as simple as you can. People used to spend a lot of time for their hair, for their clothes, for their outlook. But as a monk, you try to simple that. You try to cut off all of that kind of decoration. But you go back and try to make yourself beauty by how you live. Two different ways. As a regular lifestyle, people very important the outlook, the outside. But as a monastic, as a Buddhist practitioner, you important your inner practice, your inside. So that's why we used to remind by our teacher, shaving your head is very easy, but do you able to shave your afflictions within you? To become a monk, just an hour ceremony, but to be a monk is all your life. So to become something, it's simple, but to be who you are, your role, your practice is hard. So the second meaning of shaving your head means from now on, you are practicing to step out of the three realms of this universe. So, leaving your entire home, leaving your afflictions, the house of afflictions, the house of fire, and also to leave the three realms, that is the the rhyme of desires, the rhyme of form, and the rhyme of formless. We have a lot of desires in us. We have so many kind of desires. And basically, the Buddha told us we have 5 desires, basically. That's money, sex, fame, good food, and good sleep. And as a monk, we try to cut off 3 things. Try not to over, but just enough or less than. Your food, your clothes, your sleep. Doesn't mean that we try to mistreat ourselves, but try just enough, but don't over them. Because if you over, that means you sunk yourself in the rhyme of desires. And if you too much busy for that, you have no more time to do anything else that you really need. And the purpose of a monastic is not to attach to those 3 things or the 5 desires. Try to cut off a little bit. And I used to joke with the novice. I said, in this society, we may only do 1 thing that apply with what the Buddhas and the patriarchs advise, and that is we have very lack of sleep. But we have extra food. We have lot of food. We have lot of clothes. But we just have 1 thing only, that is lack of sleep. In the 3 things that the Buddha and our teachers advise us, try to cut them as much as you can. That means just enough. That is hard. And the Buddha said, based on this kind of teaching, who is the one who feel poor? Because they never feel enough. Because you don't feel enough, that's why you feel you're always poor and you want more, you want more, and you want more. Only one you can feel enough and you are rich. Who is the one who have a lot of possession? The one we call he is the richer. That means that person feel enough what they have. Because if you don't feel enough, that means you feel less. You want more. And the more you want, the more you have to run after the material life and so many things after. So when we read the 5 mindfulness trainings, and our tradition is every first Friday of the month, we get together, we meditate, and we're listening deeply to the 5 mindfulness trainings and what we call the precept recitation. When we recite, even just the beginning, a new chant that our sister Randa just read, and when we read that, doesn't mean we report to the Buddha. But when we read that, it gives us the opportunity to reflect ourselves. And when we recite this, we have a chance to listening to the words deeply and use each of that advice, that lecture, in order to encourage us in the practice. We can see that there are days that we will not look at each other. We will not talk to each other. we make the rift greater. And later on, our house, our family collapse just because of our pride. Why I have to talk to him first? He is wrong, I am right. Why I have to talk to her first? She is wrong, I am right. And because of that pride, nobody willing to come to each other first. You know, sometimes, no matter who you are, but if you see the worst situation in your family, then sometimes you have to sacrifice, try to lower your pride down and come to that person in order to create the communication. Even you are the teacher, sometimes you have to do that. Because that person doesn't know how to do it yet. Then you are the one who learned the practice. You have learned, and why don't you practice? Why you need to wait until that person come to you first? Do you see what I mean by that? So when we doing our chanting, or the precept recitation, that is the chance for us to reflect and to see how we have done in the past month. That is the practice, beginning anew. Practice means we make our life newer each day. I used to tell them, the novices, we practice in order to make ourselves become better, not bitter. If you know how to practice, you will look much, much better. And if you don't know how to practice, the more you practice, the more you learn, the more you become bitter. Because you just attach to what you learn, but you never practice. You never apply what you learn. And you just hold in you a lot of knowledge. And the knowledge will become poison because you never digest your knowledge. The same as food. If you save them in a can or bowl, even you grab them, but if you don't use them right on time, they will expire. You cannot use. Same with what you have learned. So in us, there are a lot of negative and positive seeds. And we used to call in the form of seeds. Seeds mean the source of something. And if we mindful enough, we only try our best to water the positive seeds and try not to connect with the negative seeds in us. We have the negative of hatred, of pride, of ignorance, of greed, many other jealousy. And they are like our babies. Each of that seed is like a baby. And we need to take good care for them, even negative or positive. And if they are negative, try to make them sleep all the time. And if they are positive, try to awake them. Especially a monk, a nun, a practitioner. We need to do this. If you are unable to do this, how can you offer the joy, the happiness to others? We are like a mother who have the baby in their womb. And the mother have to take a good care for their baby. They have to be very mindful with all the food that they intake. Not too much thing that hot. They avoid chilly things. They don't dare to walk fast. About a month ago, I have a lady who came to me and asked me to pray for her baby. Because the doctor said she can never have a baby. That's why she never think about that. But suddenly, she's pregnant, but she does not know. So one day, she is doing something, I don't know, she run or she jump or something. And then, she fainted. And when her husband brought her to the hospital, and they say that they're unable to keep the baby. And she's surprised. She got pregnant for 2 months, but she didn't know. Because she think she never have baby. So that's why when we have a baby, we should not get angry. Because those are the very negative energy to nourish the baby in our womb, in your womb. Do not hate anyone. Because when you hate that person, that means you nourish that man or that person in you all the time. And when you give birth to the baby doesn't look like his father, but the baby look very similar to that, to your enemy. Believe me, this is something happened in my family. I have an aunt, an auntie, and you know that about 20 years ago, more than 20 years ago, in Vietnam is the communism, and in each village, they assign a person to become the leader of that village. And that leader have to look after all the houses, all the families in the village, who go back home late, who leave home early, what they do in their family, we have to report to the police station. And if you want to get more credit from the policeman, the police station, then you have to report a lot of things to the police office. And in my village, there was that man who always looked after. You know, like he is very gossiping. He tried to report as much as he can, you know, in order to get credit from the government, in order to bring him to the higher position, a higher position. And my auntie at that time, she is pregnant, and she really hates that man. Because she hates him, that's why in her head, in her mind, that man always in her. And when she gave birth to her last son, he looks exactly the same as that man. And there is another thing. She named him by the name of that man. You know why? Because she thinks. So every day she can call him out and blame him, you know, and shout at him. And she doesn't dare to call him that leader, because if she afraid to be in jail. So She doesn't know what to do. She named her baby under that name. So every day she can call her, "You are stupid, you are silly," and everything. She called him. And that is something in my family. So that's why you see that they used to encourage us to look at the baby's picture. They're smiling, they're innocent, so to make us happy. So remember that you are the mother of your baby. And when you teach your baby, you don't wait until the baby grow up and teach them, but you teach them right at the very beginning, when they are just 1 or 2 or 3 months. That is how Asian people do. They teach their kids every day. And lot of Buddhist ladies, they used to talk with the baby every day. Every day they put their hand on the body, and they know where the baby are. The baby is, they say, "You are the good baby. Okay, every day I recite the Buddha's name. Please listen and recite after mom. Okay, my dear." And then she start to listen to the chanting or the recitation, and she let the baby come and listen calmly right in the womb. Vietnamese people used to call the womb Tử Cung. Tử means the baby, the prince. Cung means the kingdom, the palace. The kingdom of my prince. That's what how they call their womb, where the baby is. Tử Cung. Tử means the baby, the prince. Cung means the palace, the kingdom. The mother has to very be careful on her daily consumption. She avoid very cold food. She avoid very hot food. She avoid chilly food. And if she want to have something, she will right away have it. So one of the person is a great supporter in that moment is the father. The father have to protect the mother and the baby very mindfully. The father try not to make the mother angry. Try not to make the mother emotional. I have known the lady. When she found out she is pregnant, at the same time she realized her husband is cheating on her. She very suffer. She cry every day. And after she give birth to the baby, she named the baby under the name "The Tear of My Eye." Do you know that girl, she have a very sad eyes. And she is very emotional too. She can cry easily. And when you look at her, you can tell there is something inside of her. Why is that? Because she was trained when she was a very young, when she was just a baby in her mother's womb. So that's why the 5 mindfulness trainings that we just read, they are the foundation for everything in this entire life. They can bring us the true happiness the true peace, the true joy. And if you do have those kind of positive energies in you, you nourish your baby if you are the mother. And if you are the father, you also nourish your baby indirectly. Because when the father is also at peace, he is able to offer her peace directly to the mother. He supports strongly to the mother and to the baby. Vietnamese people used to say that if you are the man, you suffer, you have your friend beside you. But if you are the lady, you suffer, you go to the ocean by yourself. They describe the moment that the baby come out from the womb. Very painful, very suffer. Nobody can replace. So that's why we have a lot of songs, a lot of poems that talk about a mother's love. Because the mother stands for compassion. In Buddhism, we also have the Buddha stands for compassionate. That is Avalokiteshvara, Kuan Yin, Bodhisattva, in the form of a lady. Stand for the mother's love, stand for loving kindness, stand for the compassionate. Do not think that only the mother is responsible to nourish the baby, to take care for the baby. But if we are the father, we have to nourish the baby too by how we treat the mother. We try to please her, make her happy. And we have to understand one thing. When they pregnant, their nature changes. They get upset easily. They are not normal at all. Is that correct? So if you blame, why you are not normal? And we angry with that unnormal, and we also unnormal. Because we don't know how to do it. We should understand that. We don't have to wait until the lady get pregnant in order to change all the time. Every month, when it's their period, they can change easily too. So if we are the good husband, we are the good father, we have to understand the situation in order to accept them. And when they get old, before they end their period, they also change a lot. And we should know that too. So what is our spouse mean? Friends on a path. And if you are a friend just beside her every day, 24, like, you know, most of the time, you call her your spouse, your wife. And if you don't understand this, and if you don't do your best to support her, you're not really a true friend. Look at, find something that makes you happy and look at it. Find something that makes you easy to laugh, to smile every day. Even you are father, you are mother, you are the man, you are the lady, you find. Because the laugh is a great medicine. Your smiling is the true medicine to heal all kind of sickness. Today I received the Indian trip, like, what do we call the schedule? in Vietnamese, and I sit down and I try to translate them into English. Because we have some English speaking sangha join us to India's trip. And when each of the area that I translate, I can picture them. Because I've been there. And when we say, oh, we will visit Buddha Gaya and we will do what we do, and in my mind, I picture them. And right in the moment I'm sitting there in order to translate, I feel full of happiness. Like yesterday when I go to do some paperwork with the master, and while he is still doing it, and I'm stopped by the bookstore, and I stopped by the religion area, and I try to look some of the religion's books, and they give me a lot of joy, a lot of happiness when I'm reading. So I want to say this because I want to encourage everyday life, try to make friends with good things. In the bookstore, every year they sell like a calendar that they have lots of good quotations. You can buy one of them. And every day you can read. You don't have to tear them. Just flip over and read. And then we can keep that whole booklet. And once a while we open them and we read it. I love to read those kind of quotations a lot. And one of the way that the Buddha has advised us in order to make your daily life happy and better, you must make friends with good things. Make friends with good friends, but also make friends with good things, like reading good quotations. If someone doing something good, we happy for them. No jealous. You cannot do it. Just happy along with what they have done. That is a great practice. Why? Because the one who gives, they release their greed. We happy along with them, we release the seed of jealousy in us. Both greedy and jealousy, very poison. The one who give, they are practicing on releasing their greedy. We don't have anything to give, but we happy along with what they give. We are practicing on releasing our jealousy. And the Buddha said, the merit the same. One person asked the Buddha, how can it be? One person do good thing, thousands of people happy with it, they get the same merits. They asked the Buddha that kind of question. And the Buddha gave an example. Let me give an example. Let's say if I hold in my hand a torch, and thousands of other torches come and light from my main one. Is that because of that thousand torches come and take the fire from my torch, and my torch get lower in the flame? No. It's like when you have a candle, thousands of other candles come and light from your main candle. Your candle still the same. Same thing. That's why we put in our donation box. Tùy hỷ công đức. Happy with what you do and happy with what others do. That is the meaning of the donation box. We don't pass the basket around because that may create a lot of negative things. So whatever you can help, silently in there. You happy to do it,
you gain the merit.
Someone see what you done, they happy with it, they get the merit. Nobody say you donate a lot, you don't donate, we come here not because of that. You come because of the practice. Do you see what I mean by that? So today, it is only a reminding. Our kidney, our lung, our body parts, they are like our baby. We need to take good care for them. If one happy, the other things also happy. If the kidney is healthy, the other body part also healthy along with it. If you are the mother, and when you have the baby, when you are pregnant, then remember, learn how to protect, how to teach, how to nourish your baby right at the moment the baby was still in your womb. The same as when you plant the bonsai, you want to make the tree how they bend. Bend them when they are still young tree, young branches. If you wait until they get old, their branch is very hard. Very hard to bend. That's how Vietnamese people give an example. Teach your baby. Teach your kid when they're still young. Wait until they're teenager. And you say, when they grow up, they can make their own decision. At that moment, they make their own decision, but not based on what you want. So, bend them. Bend them doesn't mean we force them to do bad things. Like today, when I see small kids, they come to the temple, and they use a lot of foam cups. In order to, instead of come to them and say, don't use it, then I have to explain to them why we don't use foam cups in weekday. I say, because we are a very small number of people, we can wash our cups. So use this one, so we can reuse them. Foam cups, only used on when we have lots of people. We're unable to wash them and we don't have enough to serve for everybody. So we temporarily use the foam cups. But you know, this is very poison. The more you use, the more you got pollution. So we have to every single thing like that. So when the baby, when our kids, they eat and they drop out some of the food, we ask them to pick them and finish it. Still on the table. You are very fortunate to have a lot of food. Can you imagine how many kids, same age as you, no food, no drinks, no clothes? We sit here very safely. The soldiers died in the war. We read newspaper. They sacrificed their life for us. What do we do for them? We practice for them. We live mindfully for them. They protect our country. We are not allowed, we don't have the right to damage the country, the pollution, the environment. That's how we support each other. That's how we live. So every morning, join your hands after meditation, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then join your hands, thinking about your parents, your teachers, your country, and automatically in you, you vow to live mindfully for that day. Thinking about your baby, then you live mindfully. So the father, the mother, very important. You are the father of your son, your daughter. You are the mother of your son, your daughter. But you are also the parents of your body parts. If you know how to protect and nourish them. If they one gets sick, the whole body part influence. The liver, the kidney, the lung, the heart. Very important. They are main body parts. If one of them not well, we also unwell. The whole body unwell. So each of them is like a baby. Protect them. And all the mother need to protect the baby mindfully. The father also need to support. Help the mother. Help the baby. You don't carry the baby for 9 months. But your worry, your concern is the same. So when we gratitude not only the mother, but also the father. They don't carry the baby, but they carry the concern, the worries. And they protect the mother. So I hope that today, our regular meditation, and with my brief sharing, I hope the Sangha will receive and apply in your daily life, daily practice. Thank you for your listening, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. And tomorrow we will have a mindfulness day. Please be here at 9. So we will go to Westlock, about 45 minutes away from the temple. And we will spend a day there. I think you will enjoy the environment, the serenity there. Thank you. Please join your hands. We will recite the Avalokiteshvara.
Namo Avalokiteshvaraya. 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 Namo Avalokiteshvaraya.